the just for the unjust.
Right.
I'm so glad that I was able to trade my righteousness, which was as filthy rags, for the righteousness of Christ. If you're saved, you have that righteousness. Amen? Thank you for that special. Wasn't that tremendous? What a blessing. I love that song. All right, let's take our Bibles. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 17. We'll start there, and we'll do a little bouncing around, but we'll start in Luke chapter 17. And we read some scriptures just a little bit ago out of Colossians chapter 3 and spoke about a number of things that we're to be as the elect of God, as believers in Christ. But one of those things, as we read in verse 13, was about forgiveness, because we've been forgiven greatly. We're to forgive one another. Amen? So in Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 4, we'll read verses 1 through 4. 3 and 4 are the verses that certainly speak to this. But let's start here at the beginning of the chapter. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. This is what the Lord Jesus is saying to them. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll just pray right now. Father, we come to you this morning and thank you once again for the opportunity that we have to gather. Together, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to sing unto you. Thank you for the special that we just heard. We thank you for the work you did on the cross for us, that you came, Lord Jesus, and died on our behalf. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful forgiveness. Lord, we were without hope. Thank you that you came, and now we have hope. We know you. We know you as our personal Savior. You've given to us everlasting life for those of us that know Christ here. And we're so thankful for that. Help us, Lord, to be a good testimony for you. Help us to learn how to forgive one another. You forgave us in such a tremendous way, and the offenses that we commit with one another are so small and petty compared to that, but so often we dig in our heels and we fail to forgive. Would you help us, Lord? Help us to do as you've done unto us. Help us to forgive. And so we pray, Father, that you'd speak to our hearts in regard to this message of forgiveness. We do pray, and I would pray, Lord, if there's somebody here without Christ, that you'd work in their hearts. Show them how they need the forgiveness of Christ. Show them how that you came and died for them 2,000 years ago and went onto a cross. You'd never committed any sin, and you were crucified for our sins and buried and then risen again, and that you're alive right now, and you want to come into any individual's life. You want them to receive you. And we pray for someone here today without Christ that they'd get saved. So we pray that in all of this, Lord, I pray that you'd get me out of your way. I pray that I wouldn't hinder you. I pray for that anointing from the Spirit of God, and I pray that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and glorified. And we ask it all in his wonderful name. Amen. So obviously I'm speaking on the subject of forgiveness. I talked about that as we read those verses a little bit ago, and then we just read here in Luke chapter 17, those first four verses. For folks, the word itself is the essence of the Christian life. It's the essence of the Christian life. We've been forgiven by God, and that's why we're here today. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. We're just little children, and he's forgiven us for our sins for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Otherwise, do you think any of us would really want to be here? Probably not so. I mentioned just a little bit ago that church was not a place that I grew up going to, and I had no hankering to go to church at any time until God did a work in my heart, and he forgave me. And then he began to change me. And boy, I wanted to be in church. I wanted to hear preaching. I wanted to hear testimonies. And I wanted to sing hymns. I was truly a new creature. And I still am that new creature in Christ. And all these 40-some years later, it's a blessing to be in church. Isn't it a blessing? Amen. Did I have to really prompt you with that one? It's a blessing to be in church. You wouldn't be in church here today if it wasn't. So this morning, I want to speak about the benefits that come about when forgiveness is exercised. So I want to go down that road. The benefits that come when forgiveness is exercised. And I also want to go on the premise that we need to look at forgiveness as more of an attitude than something that we deal with, you know, every once in a while when things have blown up. It needs to be something that is cultivated in our heart, a forgiveness, a forgiving attitude, a forgiving spirit. And then we also need to see the importance of not only being quick to forgive when we've been wronged, but also to be quick to seek forgiveness when we've wronged somebody else. Because that does happen, right? Yeah. We speak of how important it is for us to keep the ledger short with God when it comes to sin. But it's just as important to keep the records clean between us and the brethren when it comes to offenses. So let's go to a passage over here in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, the Lord Jesus is going to give to his disciples this parable. And in Matthew chapter 18, and let's take a look at verse 21. We'll just read all the way through the rest of the chapter. We'll just get through this, and I'll just make these points. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 says, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?' he asked. And Jesus saith unto him, 'I say unto thee, until seven times.'" Wait. "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Okay, so that's 490. So that's a little bit more than Peter was bargaining for, right? "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' And then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." Reminds us of something, doesn't it? Certainly, it reminds us of us. And then it says, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. That's nothing compared to what he was forgiven. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me that thou owest.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, and said unto him, 'O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredst me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?' And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Boy, that's pretty sobering, isn't it? The Lord says, "I've forgiven you all this debt," here in this parable. And that's certainly what the Lord has done for us. He's forgiven us a great debt if we're here and we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. Boy, you could just start to add them all up. We've forgotten so many of them, but even if you just have a decent memory, you know it's a huge pile. And the Lord's forgiven us of that. And how many times maybe have we been guilty of not forgiving somebody else over something that was very petty? And you see what the consequences of that. He says, "I'll turn you over unto the tormentors." You know, that's what happens to believers They don't lose their salvation, but they become miserable when they forget, when they fail to forgive somebody else of some trespass, of some violation against them. So often we're not so quick to forgive. Amen? Please say amen, because I feel horrible. I'm like, I'm the only one? Maybe somebody else should be preaching here. I've certainly been guilty of that. But now I want us to start out with some of these benefits of forgiveness when we do forgive. And I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, you'll know this passage very well if you've been saved for any length of time. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look toward the end of that chapter. And I want to bring out this first point about forgiveness, the benefits that come with forgiveness. And may we have forgiving hearts. The first thing that I'll bring up is forgiveness puts down so much potential for evil. It puts down so much potential for evil. And we'll take a look here at Ephesians chapter 4, right at the end of the chapter. And verse 30, and I'll read verse 31, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And then he says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Okay? There are a number of things that we can get caught up in, right? That's what it's saying right here in verse 31. There are a whole lot of things, folks, that are after you and I. It reminds me of the customer that was at Home Depot who was being overrun with ants. And he has this can of insecticide. And he asked one of the employees there, "Is this stuff good for ants?" And the guy says, "No, it'll kill them." Listen, these things that we just read about in verse 31, these things, some of you are just getting that right now. These things in verse 31, folks, are things that, listen, they can get a hold of us if we're not careful. Bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor, evil speaking. Listen, we have to be careful about this. When we learn to have a forgiving attitude, a forgiving spirit, we will literally close the door on these things that we've just spoken about. Because verse 32 says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." It's a great thing. Amen. To forgive one another, being tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. You know, when forgiveness is prevalent, everything runs so well, doesn't it? I mean, everything runs so well in the home. It's just like harmony in the home. Everybody is at peace with one another. It's like being in a musical and a beautiful orchestra is playing. It really is. It's just a wonderful atmosphere when we have that, when we're forgiving one another. When it's not, man, it's just not good. It's just conflict after conflict. It's like watching a WWF match on TV, all right? There's just constant fighting going on. It's like the young man who had called his mom from college, and she said, "How's it going in your new apartment?" "Well," he said, the neighbors are a bit difficult. One gal keeps screaming now and then with no rhyme or reason, and on the other side, there's a guy that just sounds like he's beating his head against the wall. She said, "Well, you need to stay away from those people." And he said, "I sure will. I'm just going to stay in my room and continue practicing my tuba lessons." Listen, it's not good when forgiveness is not existent. It's not a good thing, folks. You talk about rough sailing. There are all those mean looks and those piercing stares, and that's just from the cat and the dog, all right? But you know what? All those snide little comments, it's terrible. It's a rough ride. And then there's just a bad, big collision that's down the road. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 1 says, "Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife." It's better to have that. Better to have little, but there's peace in the home because there's forgiveness. And we need to have that. Forgiveness, folks, is like an ointment that is continually being applied. In actuality, what it really is just kindness being demonstrated on a regular basis. That's what it is. It was said about Abraham Lincoln, his heart was as great as the world, but there was no room in it to hold the memory of a wrong. Boy, may we have a heart, may we have a mind that's like that. We don't hold anything. We don't want to be those who hold grudges and we have an axe to grind with everybody. That's just not a good way to go through this life, folks. Wouldn't it be good if that was said about us, what was said about Abraham Lincoln? And again, it's good for us to remember that forgiveness is not only just an act, but it's also that ongoing attitude as well that I spoke of just a little bit ago. It needs to be that constant lubrication. So another benefit that I want to bring forth about forgiveness is that it promotes unity in the body of Christ. It promotes unity when it happens here, and it needs to happen among us. You know, there's a situation back, a young preacher that used to be here, took a church, and he's back in Tennessee, and there's just not some good things happening even today in the church. And it's because of a lot of unforgiveness. There's a lot of pride going on, and I won't go into any more details than that, but, you know, it's just about the fact that there's just some folks that aren't willing to forgive one another. Happens a lot in churches, doesn't it? Yeah, you know, I've been saved, like I said, over 45 years now, and I've seen it, unfortunately, too many times. And that's, you know, what we have here is something special, but it's not like it can't just happen, okay? Listen, I've been around long enough that these can happen. And, you know, what did the Lord Jesus say? That offenses are going to come. We just read that in Luke chapter 17 in that very first verse, that offenses are going to come. We're going to, you know, we're going to bump into each other. We're going to maybe say something that we shouldn't say. We're going to forget somebody's, you know, birthday. Oh, which, by the way, I think somebody is 86 years old today. He doesn't look a day over 90. Brother Park, happy birthday. See, he might have thrown me under the bus if I didn't come up with that one right now. No, not Brother Park, but happy birthday, Brother Park. But listen, we just are going to do some things. It's going to happen with husbands and wives, right? Yeah, you're going to say something. Maybe you're a little too quiet. You okay? Is there something wrong? Did I do something? You know, there's just going to be that. It's just part of how we, you know, things that we deal with. But it's good when there's a church and people have grown enough in the things of the Lord and they're mature enough to deal with this in a right way, to go, you know what, my little petty conflict that I have with that other brother, it's just not worth it. Enough of that, and the Spirit of God says, I'm not too comfortable in here. I think I'll just kind of leave this room. We don't want that, folks. We want the Lord to be right, center stage. It's all about Him. What did John the Baptist say? You know, He must increase, but I must decrease. It's all about, Lord, we want You to have first place. We want You to be in our midst. And the last thing that we want is for us to have these little petty grumbles with one another, because enough of that, and the Lord will say, again, I don't need to be right here. We don't want that. We don't need to be playing church. We want the Lord to be here. And so that's what ought to motivate us to say, you know what, I want to make sure this thing's taken care of, because I don't want to lessen the Spirit's presence here, the Holy Spirit's presence, the Lord's presence, because of some acts that I have to grind with that other person. I want to make sure it's right. I want to make sure that it's right. So what it does, this second thing, it promotes unity in the body of Christ. And boy, that is what we want. There's probably not a better thing than that. How important it is. It's huge that we have this unity in the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're right there. In Ephesians chapter 4, in those first three verses, it says, Therefore, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, as Paul writes to these Ephesian believers, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring, that means working hard, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We want to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So may we be determined to do that. Take a look at Psalm 133. It's only got three verses. Psalm 133 is a great psalm, and it speaks toward unity. Here in Psalm 133, let me read those three verses. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. What a great picture of Aaron's anointing. And it was what a great picture of unity amongst the brethren. How pleasant, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Do you not think that the Lord is pleased with that? He is. He's pleased when we can get along, when we can have unity one with another. We know how important it is for a church to be strong in the word and to be strong in doctrine and in faith. And oh, how important it is to, but probably more, now I'm not going to, but I'll say this, yes. I mean, those things are important and they're non-negotiables because we need to grow in all of those things. But probably not so more important as to have a church of people that have forgiving spirits. It's so important that we have that. It is an oasis in this world that we live in. We're living in this culture right now, and you know, you've heard the terms, you know, woke and this cancel culture. And the things that it's about is just wicked. You know it's of the devil because it just goes right against this Bible. So you know the devil's behind it all. And with that cancel culture, you know, I've seen so many that they just have just terrible things. Those that have been raised up in church. And now they look back and they say, well, you didn't do this. Something silly. You didn't give us this luxury and we didn't have that opportunity. And you raised us on goat's milk or whatever it is. Something foolish. And so, you know, we're done with you. Man, that's not Bible. Not at all. This cancel culture. Let's not have any part of all of that. Well, let's not have any part of that. If that's our spirit towards somebody else, then we haven't grown very much. Right. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, help me. I want to forgive because I want to be right with you. Amen. Well, I certainly do. How many church splits could have been avoided over something small and insignificant if only Christians could have demonstrated some forgiveness, right? Some grace, some forbearance. Forbearance means to put up with one another. Now, I don't think that happens here. There's none of that putting up with each other, with husbands and wives here. You guys just have melodious homes, right? Hey, aren't there a few things we put up with each other? You know, I mean, you know, I don't think wives like it when their husbands, you know, get on the floor and try to see how far they can flick their toenails across the living room. Hey, hon, look at that, 25 feet. I just set my record. And the wives are like, I'm not impressed. Because we guys can be pretty gross at times, right? So maybe we need to take the grossness down just a little. Folks, listen, we have some things that we forbear with, some things that we put up with each other. But that's a part of it. And that's a part of asking the Lord to give us grace. But folks, yet, you know, with all of that, all of us have problems with this at times. We certainly do. Again, we get miffed with one another and we carry a chip on our shoulder. I like what somebody once said about that. They said, if you've got a chip on your shoulder, then it probably means that you've got a block somewhere higher up. Yeah, it's good to think about that. We've got to be careful with one another, to be considerate of one another. Peter talks about being courteous with one another. When a little rift happens in a relationship, take care of it right away. Whenever I give, premarital counseling, I talk about work on that. Learn how to take care of issues. Don't let something build up. We probably have been guilty of that. Take care of it right away. have some good communication. Amen? It's so important. Colossians chapter 3, we read these verses. I'll read them again right now in verses 13 and 14. Well, 13 and 14, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, we didn't read verse 14, so I'll read that. It says, and above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Folks, it's so important that we work toward unity. We need to do that in a church. And we need to do that and put ourselves, you know, put ourselves off to the side and say, you know what, I don't want to jeopardize what the Lord's doing here. And so I need to do the right thing. And then finally, there's another great benefit for us to be forgiving Christians, and that is because it's just pleasing to God. Amen. It's pleasing to God. Of course, it's also commanded, but it's something that we ought to do because, most importantly, it pleases Him. He's honored by that. What better reason do we have than that? God is not impressed with our abilities or our gifts. He is pleased when we have the right attitude or spirit, one that is Christ-like. It's what keeps us in fellowship with Him. It keeps us connected with Him. The Bible speaks about our fellowship with the Lord and how that can be jeopardized when we hold on to sin, when we fail to forgive somebody else. 1 John is a great passage for that. In fact, let's go ahead and turn there. 1 John, in 1 John chapter 1, the very first chapter, and we read here in verse 5. I'll just, this chapter has 10 verses, but let's start there in verse 5, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. He says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God is a holy God. He's a righteous God. There's no sin in God. Amen? And He says this, if we say... So now, with knowing that, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, oh yeah, I'm walking with the Lord. I have fellowship with the Lord. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, all right, we're going down a path, we're committing sin, our hearts are not right, but if we say, yeah, I have fellowship with Him, and we walk in darkness, we lie, okay? We're lying, and do not the truth. Now, that's either just done, you know, intentionally, or maybe there's some, you know, being totally deceived, because the Bible says the heart, you know, our hearts are, what does it say? The heart is deceitful above all things, right? And desperately wicked. Who can know it? But you know what? Ultimately, we're just lying to ourselves. If we say that we have fellowship with the Lord, but we're not doing the right thing. We're not getting our hearts right with somebody else. And then it says in verse 7, but if we walk in the light... Okay, this is not hard to figure out. We walk with the Lord. We walk in the light, which is to do right, which is to honor the Lord, which is to live godly and righteously and holily. Well, when we do that, then we get our hearts right with the Lord. And He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. How many of you would rather be walking in verse 7 rather than verse 6? Right? Yeah, we want to be in verse 7 as often as we possibly can. And then it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Yeah, we're still gonna deal with this old sinful nature. And it's going to pop up here and there and we're going to yield to it. But here is the key for us to be able to stay in verse 7. Because we may be in verse 6. You might be in verse 6 right now because you haven't gotten something taken care of with the Lord. But in order to get it right, you go to verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's the great door that we go through that puts us right back on the path of verse 7, walking in fellowship with Christ, walking in the light. You know, we get away from it. And we sin, we lose our temper with somebody that we love, we think some evil thoughts, We become bitter and angry, as we read in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, then we're no longer on the right path and we need to go back to verse 9. And you know how good the Lord is to forgive us each and every time? You know, there's one that'll come up to you who'll say, you know what? I think God's tired of you using that verse all the time. You can't just continue to use 1 John 1:9 all the time and think that he's really going to forgive you over and over. But don't listen to that voice, because the Lord will forgive us if we come to him with the right heart. And he'll forgive us. He'll put us right back on verse 7. Then, of course, verse 10 says what verse 8 said. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Folks, I want to have access before the Lord. And I do have that access in Christ. But if my heart is unforgiving, then I'm not going to have access before the Lord. The Lord says, if you'll not forgive somebody else, I won't forgive you. And I'm looking at an auditorium or a congregation of people that's probably an issue with some of you. It's been an issue with me in times past. Praise the Lord, it's not an issue right now. I don't ever want it to be an issue. But boy, we have an old nature and we can become bitter and angry and wrathful. And we can begin to speak evil of others. And there can be clamor, just as that verse said in Ephesians chapter 4. Can you relate to that? Amen. Certainly. And maybe that's the case right now. But the Lord says that he'll forgive us if we're willing to forgive. If we'll get our hearts right with the Lord and get our hearts right with folks. Matthew chapter 6, it's a great passage. Why don't we turn there? Matthew chapter 6, we've done some bouncing around in our Bible, but that's good. Matthew chapter 6. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. And let's just read verses, this is the Lord's Prayer. So let's go a little further back than what I have. Well, let's just go from verse 5, and I'll read all the way through 15. We've got a little time here. I'm finishing up my last point, and we'll be done. But here in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6, he says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." That's their reward. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye." Okay, this is how you're to pray, he said. He gives them a pattern. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." And then he gets right to this point. He says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And then he says here in verses 14 and 15, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Oh yeah, we can be saved and on our way to heaven, but we can be out of fellowship with the Lord because we're holding something over on somebody else. And we're not willing to forgive. And the Lord says, "I won't forgive you." And our relationship won't be what it ought to be. That really weighs heavy on me, that we have access unto the Father unless there's something that's not being dealt with. And then he won't hear us. You ever been someplace where you were looking to go and, you know, have a good time, and all of a sudden you were not allowed access? It just kind of, you know, what? What happened? It happened to us a long time ago, probably about 20 years ago. We're taking the kids down. We were in Southern California. We're in San Diego. And we went already been to a few other places in San Diego, SeaWorld or whatever. But we go to the Wild Animal Park in San Diego. And this is during Christmas time. So it's in the month of December. And they have a Christmas light show. And so we go and we're ready to go in. And we find out This is employee night. This is employee night. Sorry, we can't let you in. Well, right about then, I was just really tempted to lie and say, well, you know, I'm the giraffe keeper, you know. I didn't go forth with that. I really didn't think that was going to be able to really fly. But we weren't allowed access in. It's terrible. You ever just go to some place like Costco and you don't have your card and they're like, you're out of here. You can't come in here. You need your Costco card or wherever. Hey, listen, that was a terrible disappointment not to be able to go and have access to a place. We weren't allowed that access. And the same happens again to us at the throne of grace when our hearts have been unforgiving, folks. When our hearts are not what the Lord would have us to do, the gatekeeper to the throne says, sorry, no access. There's an issue that needs to be dealt with before you get in. And you know how that all plays out. We get on our knees, we kneel down to pray, we close our eyes, and then that big jumbotron, big screen TV comes on in our minds, and there's that person's face, right, that you've got an issue with. The Lord's good at doing that. I remember in Bible college, I had an issue with a roommate, and, you know, on my side, I could have said, yeah, the guy was kind of a jerk. I mean, yeah, my brother, and we were in the same dorm, and all of that, but he was kind of a jerk. Well, that really didn't fly, because I let it get into my heart, and I had some problems with him, and I remember getting down before the Lord, and the Lord says, you got something you got to take care of first. You need to go and talk to Greg about this situation. And I did go to Greg. I went to Greg, and he was in his room, and I come up to the door, and I couldn't even reach the doorknob. I felt so small. You know how you feel so small when, like, man, I just feel like a dirt ball, you know? I think I could have walked under the crack of the door. That's how small I felt. And I talked to Greg, and I said, Greg, we got to talk. I just need to get some things right with you, and I need to ask you to forgive me. And, you know, I was so glad I did that, because until that happened, you know, it was like Greg's face was there, and I knew what the Lord was telling me. You know, the Lord makes that face so big. It's kind of like the cereal flakes on cereal boxes, you know? They make them huge, you know, and it says, enlarge to show texture. It's like I never saw, you know, a Wheatie that big. But the Lord does that. He puts that face so big in front of you that you can see it. You can't miss it. And the Lord's saying, I want you to deal with that. Maybe there's somebody that the Lord's bringing up to your mind right now. I don't know who I'm preaching to. But I'm preaching to every one of us because that is something that we deal with from time to time. Folks, when that happens, take care of it. Amen. I'm just going to give you some good advice. Take care of it. And get it right with that individual, because there's just nothing better than to be right with God. And then it's good to be right with your brother or your sister in Christ. Listen, it is a blessing to please the Lord. That's what this point is talking about. It's pleasing unto God. I remember when I was a kid, and so many of us are probably wired that way. We were just pleasers, and we loved to please our parents, and I love to please my dad. I mean, my dad was my hero, you know, and I remember when my dad would come home from work, and man, he'd had a long day, and his back used to bother him, and say, son, you know, I was about 10, 12, son, would you rub my back? Oh, would you please rub my back? And I'd say, sure, Dad. Well, you know, I sometimes I wasn't so quick to want to do it, but he'd say, son, your hands are just incredibly strong, and I know that that's what I need. And I'm like, oh, wow. My dad was playing me, okay? He knew what he was doing. And I just remember when I would rub his back, and he'd say, oh, thanks, son. Thanks. That feels so good. And you know what? After a bit of time, I was like, I was so happy because I was pleasing to my dad. We as believers, boy, that ought to just resonate with us. We please our Father. We please our God when we do what's right, what's honoring unto him. Amen. Folks, it's pleasing unto God when we're demonstrating a heart of kindness and forgiveness. There are some wonderful benefits. Those are some of the wonderful benefits in regard to forgiveness. But folks, I think that this is the greatest one, that it's pleasing unto the Lord. It's pleasing unto the Lord when we forgive others. How are you doing today in this matter of forgiveness? Is there something that you're holding against somebody else? You're kind of holding them hostage, and they know it. You know, there's a simple solution to that, and that's just getting it right. It's just humbling yourself, because you know you want to be pleasing unto the Lord. You want to do what is right. You want to do what Christ did a million times over when he forgave you and when he forgave me. Are you endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit? Are you pleasing unto God? Listen, if God is speaking to your heart, I want to challenge you to respond to him today. Maybe you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then I want to challenge you to trust Jesus Christ. He came and died on the cross so that you could have eternal life. He died so that you could have forgiveness of sins. He wants to forgive you and take you to heaven one day. And so in just a moment, as we have a hymn of invitation, then I would just put it out to every one of us. If God's speaking to your heart, Christian, about maybe dealing with a situation, then come up here to the altar and just get it right before the Lord. You certainly can do that at your seat. I know that. But maybe God wants you to come up and deal with it. And if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, then I want to challenge you. I want to persuade you to step out in the aisle. Come up. We'll show you from God's Word how you can be saved, how you can know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Forgiveness, it is the essence of what the Christian life is. Amen? It ought to be something that is descriptive of us. Are we forgiving? Are we forgiving to our husbands, to our wives? Are we forgiving to our brothers and sisters in Christ here in the church? Let's let God have his way and let him speak to our hearts. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Now God has spoken to your heart. In just a moment, Vicky's just going to start playing. Brother Ray's going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation. Just be in a spirit and an attitude of prayer right now. Lord, what would you have me to do? Are you speaking to me about anything? Is there something I need to get reconciled? Is there something that I need to take care of? Am I holding something over on somebody else? I want my heart to be right. You've forgiven me for so much. Lord, help me to be forgiving of others. Help me to have that kind of a spirit. Maybe at the moment you're not necessarily holding anything on anybody, but maybe it's, Lord, I want to have that kind of a spirit. I'm somewhat quick to judge. I'm somewhat quick to condemn when a situation comes up. Instead of being forgiving, instead of being somebody who gives the benefit of the doubt, I'm ready to be, you know, judge and jury and the whole thing. So if God's spoken to your heart, Christian, then I encourage you to just get that thing right before the Lord. And if you're here without Christ, then I want to encourage you to get saved today. There's nothing better than that, nothing better than knowing that Jesus is your personal Savior. Now, Father, we thank you. We come before you. Thank you for your word. It lays out so many things so clearly. Lord, if we'll just get into your book, you talk about forgiveness. Lord, we shouldn't have to even be reminded of how much you've forgiven us. And yet sometimes we allow things in our life to get us to become bitter. We get angry. We get frustrated with people. We speak evil of them, create some clamor in our hearts. Would you help us, Lord, to learn how to forgive others in the same manner of how you've forgiven us? Help us to do the right thing. It's honoring unto you. It's pleasing unto you. It promotes unity within the church. It puts down so much potential for the evil that can happen in our lives if we'll just simply do that. Help us to do the right things, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.